Salvation series this morning from 1 John, and the whole book of 1 John, we just continue to see that it's so that we might know, that we know, that we know, that we truly have a relationship with God. And so I think each one of these areas of this book is giving us another way that we can see God working in us and God working through us in a relationship, a daily relationship. And so let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21 today. And we're going to be talking about signs of salvation, abiding love, and abiding in that love. Remember, we had talked about that those who are God's abide in God, and God abides in them. And part of that is going to play out by the fact that we are abiding in love. And what does love look like? Well, we're going to talk about that today. But one of the first things that we want to look at is that that Christians obey Jesus's commandments. And so let's go ahead and read these verses of Scripture, and then we're going to break them down. And so if you're able to stand for the reading of this passage, then I would ask that you would. And this comes from 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and in his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these words. This is not just an opinion. It's not just a beautiful piece of literature. These are not just thoughts, but this is your word. This is your word to your people. This is your word to us. It's good for all people, but it has a special meaning to those who are truly yours, for this is also our commandment. And so, Lord, I pray that you would teach us from this commandment today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all have a seat. So, remembering that Christians obey Jesus' commandments, in fact, he said that. He said that those who love me obey my commandments. And so, he kind of summed it up for us in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? That's what one individual asked Jesus. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so daily I remember that every time I see a cross, every time I think about God's love for us. It's like the upright beam on that cross. He extended his love to us, and we are to love him. Can any of us say that we have achieved this perfectly at this particular point in time? Absolutely not. This is something we're going to have to keep working on. I've heard some people say, well, this is too simplistic. Well, not if you actually try to do it. It sounds simple to hear. It's easy to sum up, but it's a whole lot harder to do. And to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. And you know what? That second one flows out of it. If we can be working on that first one and really loving God, then we begin to actually see that he's the one who created all those people out there too, right? They're all created in his image. And so if we want to show him love, then we also need to love those that he created. And that's like the cross beam on the cross. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And boy, that first part of it, love your neighbor, we go, oh yeah, you know, I believe in that. That's good. As yourself. How do you love yourself? Well, you try to take care of yourself. You try to do good things for yourself. You try to make sure that all your needs are taken care of. So I think that's the reason why he perfectly worded it that way. He wants us to look at others in the same way. And so here's the thing. A lot of times the world's trying to do something with love, and they like to use the word love a lot, but maybe the world's definition of love might be a little different than our definition of love from the Bible, right? So here's something that I'm beginning to realize as I walk with the Lord. You can't know love without knowing God. You know, there's got to be a starting point to this whole love definition. And by knowing God and having that relationship with God, that's whenever we begin to finally understand what love really is. And that's what he expresses to us there in verse 7. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We really need to know God to know how to love better. And if we see that we're lacking somewhere in our love, which I'm sure, if we're all honest at times, we're going to admit, my love seems to be waning here or lacking a little bit. And what we need to do is go back to that source of love and ask him to help us know what his love is like a little bit better. Don't you think? And so let's seek to desire to daily continue to ask God to help us understand love better. Can I get an amen to that? Because he's the only one that really knows. Just when I think that I'm really loving, like getting better at it, then I begin to look at my heart and see that maybe my motives can be flawed, right? Even just doing a gift or something for someone. You know, one time I was tested on this. I was wanting to serve God, and I was really wanting to love my neighbor as myself. And so we took on this ministry job to help somebody redo an entire house so that whenever the individual came back from the hospital confined to a wheelchair, they would be able to get through the whole house. And after I got further into the job, I was thinking, I think we could have been easier just to build them a new house, because it was really hard to change. We were having to change hallways. We were having to change eating spaces. And lo and behold, we also had to change the bathroom. And I can tell you, this bathroom was such you couldn't just change it. We had to totally redo the bathroom. And in the middle of this job, I was working at our family business and taking care of all the needs there. I was going to church on a regular basis, and I was trying to take care of my family at home. And this has been many years ago. And I showed up at this ministry job to do some work there, and the individual was feeling particularly grumpy that day. And they were more than a little bit unthankful. And I can remember thinking, man, I didn't sign up for this, you know. I did this so that they would feel good, and then I would feel good. And I started seeing that really in the bottom of my heart, some of my motives were more about me than it was about them. And so anyway, they really let me have it, because it was taking too long to get that job done, and it was disturbing their life a little too much. And I went outside and I thought, I don't think I can do this. And it was almost like God whispered into my heart, He said, now you know how I feel. He's pouring out his heart to a people that complain about him and complain to him all the time. And I was just feeling just a little bit of it, and I couldn't take it. And I said, well, I just don't think I'm going to do this anymore. And he said, I thought you said you were doing it for me in the first place. And you know, what was really unfortunate is that I wasn't really looking at the individual and wondering the root cause of why they were feeling the way they were. And so I went home that night after, I went ahead and worked the rest of the day there, and I went home that night, and I got to praying for that individual, and I got to realizing, you know what? Her whole life was changing. Her husband was having to have his leg removed because of having advanced stages of diabetes. Her husband was never going to be the same again. He was in the hospital. Their whole life had changed. And, you know, unfortunately, I think she was going through some really bad bout of depression. You know, how would I want someone to treat me in that position? She was out of kilter because of just the issues in her life. And honestly, I don't really think that she knew the Lord either. And so there were a lot of issues there, the root issues that I hadn't really considered. And as I considered them more, I can tell you it helped me to be able to love her a little bit more like God loves her. And so, you know, I really want us to think about that definition of love, because whenever Jesus says this, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, we need to have a right definition of love. You know, unfortunately, our whole worldly system has turned love into something that's been very cheapened. It's more about what I get out of it than what I give. And fortunately, that's not how God loves us. So let's look to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can keep your finger in your Bible there, because we'll be back to 1 John here in a minute. But I want us to get the biblical definition of love while we're talking about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 4. Love suffers long. Did you hear that? Love suffers long. Seems like that deserves a pause to make it long. So it'll soak in. Long suffering. It's a great description of love, isn't it? You know, when we take a marriage vow, oftentimes standard marriage vows say through sickness, through health, through good times and bad times, right? Riches and whatever, and poor, however it's put, until death do us part, so help us God. Love suffers long. Oftentimes I see marriages that are, you know, struggling because people will say, well, that person doesn't make me feel as good as they used to. Somehow or another, those don't seem the same, do they? And so I want you to know, some of the best expression of love I've ever seen in a marriage was when my mom took care of my dad during the later stages of his life in that home, and we had to do everything for him. He lost all physical mobility completely. And you know, one day she looked at me and she said, I don't know how much longer I can do it. And I said, Mom, it won't be like this forever. I'm here to help, and we're going to get through this. And you know what? You know what she said? She said, well, I remember when I took the vow, I didn't know what it would look like, but I signed up for it. And she said, because I love him, we're going to finish it together. You know, that was the expression of that kind of love. Praise God, that's God's love for us, right? When he signed up to bring us into a relationship with us, he said he's going to finish it with us. In fact, he said, you can't keep the deal, but I'll come down to planet Earth and I'll live a perfect life, and then I'll give my life on that cross in your place. Love suffers long. sometimes there are these really great times whenever we're on top of the world in our love relationship, right? It's easy to go through those times. When it gets a little tough, let's make sure we remember God don't bail on us. So let's not bail on him. Because how we treat that other person is also how we're treating God. You know, that upright beam and that cross beam, love God and love your neighbor, they're connected right in the middle. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We need to grow up in our love, right? Isn't that what he's saying? He goes on, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So let's grow in our love. Let's grow up in our love. Let's mature in our love. Let's commit to that. I used one of the closest, you know, human relationships in marriage. But guys, there's so many ways that this can be expressed. How about to our children? How about just to other children? Children that maybe don't have the greatest home life. We can extend some love to them. How about to the individual that's lonely? How about to the one who might just be needing a hand, maybe a neighbor who needs a ride to the store? I don't know. How do we express love each and every day? Let's just ask God to show us. You can't know love without really knowing God, so let's seek to know him better each and every day. And as we kind of move along in the 1 John passage, if God lives in you, love lives in you. Do you ever think about that? Because God is love is defined in this. So if God is living in you, if you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, then you got everything you need to be able to live out love. You can't say, well, I don't have it. If you're a Christian, you do have it. You may not be availing yourself to it. You may not be living in such a way that he can really express it through you at this particular moment. But here's the thing, if we will surrender, God will flow it through us. And that's the way we need to look at it. Not that we make it up or I'm able to do it. How many of you guys came for the movie on Friday night? I know I have a few here that did. That movie is available to anybody. It's called Sabina, The Nazi Years. But I think that movie very well described an expression of love that was supernatural. It was love and forgiveness that only God could flow through her. She wasn't able to do it for herself. I'm not going to ruin the rest of the movie for you, but if you want to see it, I will let you borrow it because it really helps to encourage me to love others. You see, if God lives in you, love lives in you. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If God is love, then when he lives in us through the Holy Spirit, we've got love living in us. Seeing how God loves us should compel us to love one another. The next slide, as we look at that, thinking about how does God love us? What did he do to express his love to us? How far did he go? Was he only in it for the good times? No. In fact, he was willing to send his only begotten Son into the world. Remember John 3:16? The same Apostle John writing these words by the same Holy Spirit inspiring him, reminding us God was willing to die for us. He was willing to send His Son, a part of Himself. And here's the thing. He became that propitiation for our sins. That means the payment in full, guys. That's how He showed us the love. Even when we didn't deserve it, Christ died for us, right? Romans 5:8. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's love one another. Not getting a lot of amens this morning. I'm asking us to do the hard thing. It's hard sometimes, but I can tell you it's the most powerful. It is the most powerful force on planet Earth is that love. We just had the blessing of being able to adopt a child this past year. You guys know about that, that have been part of the church. And I used to make a joke because we would go there and pick her up from, and she actually came from the Indianapolis area, so we made many trips to Indianapolis and back to pick her up in Indianapolis and back to drop her off. And in a car, that's a lot of driving. I don't really like driving that much. And do you know, for the first few months that I knew her, I wasn't even able to hold her. She really didn't want that much to do with me, and so the joke was that I was just the driver. I was the driver, but you see, guys, if I was really in it for love, what I got out of it couldn't be the reason why I was doing it. Sure, I wanted a hug every now and then. I'm putting it mildly a few months. It was a pretty long time. But I can tell you guys, those hugs sure feel good now. I'm enjoying every one of them. Having to wait for a while makes me even enjoy it more, I think. So as we do these things, let's just remember there's a reward that's waiting for us further down the road. We may even have to wait till heaven. It'll be worth it. Do the right thing now. Keep loving now. Because, man, what's it going to be like that hug when you stand before Jesus and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come enter into the rest that I've prepared for you." Wow! And we'll get to enjoy that forever. It's worth it. You see, that's the kind of love God shows us. You know, it said, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Let's do it for the joy that's set before us. We say we believe in God that we can't see. That's what it expresses to us in verses 12 through 16. None of us have ever really seen Him with our eyes, right? We can see Him in the Scriptures. We can see Him as He lives in us. We can see His effects in the people around us. But boy, don't you long to see Him with your eyes. Well, if we say we believe Him and we can't even see Him by confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, then God abides in us. Now, we got to wait for the fullness of all of it. But you know what? He goes on to remind us later on, which we'll get to that verse, if we say that we love Him and we can't see Him, it's going to be judged by how we love the ones we can see. You know what I'm saying? And as we go along in this, in the progression of these verses in 1 John 4, 17 through 18, if you have this love living in you, there's no longer that terror of judgment. That's what it's talking about with the fear, you know, that perfect love casts out fear. Guys, if you got the love of God living in your heart, you don't have to be in terror of the judgment. You know, there's a proper respect and reverence for God. That's called the fear of the Lord, too. But this fear is a word that is talking about terror. You shouldn't be terrified of judgment all the time. You should be walking with God in a love relationship with him at this point, if you have him living in you. And then as we look at verse 19, he talks about there that we love him because he first loved us. You just need to remember your love, our love for God originates in God. You know, sometimes we can be real proud of ourselves because we love God, but I can tell you, you couldn't even love God if it wasn't for the fact that he first loved you. So whenever we are struggling to love somebody else, you know where you need to go to get that love? Go back to the source. Admit it to him privately and say, God, I'm just going to be honest. I'm not able to really love my blank. I'll let you fill in the blank. Because it may be a little different for everybody. I can't love this person that I should love like I want to. So I need you to help me, because you know what? You can't even love God without his help. We need him in us. And it started with him. And then ultimately, in that progression of things, we can't be saying that we love God unless we're willing to love our brother. And that's what he says in verses 20 through 21. If you say you love God but you hate your brother, you're a liar. And everybody says, preacher, that's strong language. It is. It ain't mine, it's the word. So, like, if we're sitting out here saying, I love God, oh, how I love Jesus, but you're treating your brother terribly and you're not loving them, or you don't love them because of the color of their skin, or you don't love them because of, you know, their position or uniform that they wear, or whatever, guys, here's the thing. We can't really love God if we're hating other people, and especially our brother. We really need to make sure. You know that whole thing over in Ukraine, with the Russian army and the Ukrainians and all that stuff? You know where I'm at on that? I've got an opinion politically, but I'll tell you where I'm at on it in my prayers. I'm praying for everybody involved. Because there's a whole lot of those Russian soldiers ain't wanting to be there. And there may be some of them that are really deceived and hating those other people because they've been told to hate them and all kinds of propaganda and stuff. And now they're realizing, you know what, they're just people too. And they probably, some of them want to go home. They don't even... Guys, let's pray for the Russian army too, that they might be saved. We'll pray for the Ukrainians, that there would be many saved among them. You know what? Emergencies bring about an awareness of how much we need God. So let's pray the gospel would explode in that place now. And in all the refugees that are leaving, that they would be able to experience the gospel in a powerful way as well. Guys, we can't really say we love God unless we're willing to love our brothers. And you know what? This abiding in love is God abiding in you and us abiding in God. You can't really separate them. It's all kind of connected. And so defining that word abide, so that we have a take home from this lesson today. This is our take home. This is our thing to do. This is our application. To abide in love means to remain, to dwell in, to continue in, to endure. So our thing to do right now is to remain in, to dwell in, to continue in, to endure in love. Let's do it. Let's be encouraged. Let's be like the team that's going out on the field together and we're having our pep talk and we're going to go out on that field and we're going to give it our all. Let's do it this week. Let's do it with that person that grates at us the worst. Let's think about them right now and say, I'm going to love that person to the best of my ability for the glory of God. Let's do this, church, because, guys, as we do it, it is part of our sanctification, and it is proof that you've got Jesus in your heart. Remember, he did it for us. He's doing it for us right now. He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Remain in, dwell in, continue in, endure in, love. The bottom line, love should be the habitual theme of every Christian life. Do I get an amen? Let's love. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, you have blessed us to be under the teaching of your word today. You have blessed us that you have offered that we be children of God. Lord, if you have revealed to anyone in this place that they need a true relationship with you, then I pray today would be the day for them to surrender their heart to Jesus. And you said to all who believe in you, to all who trust in you, to all who confess your name, you will give them the right to become children of God. And so, Lord, I pray that they will reach out to you today because it's you reaching out to them already and agree to follow Jesus. I pray that you would send the Holy Spirit into their heart, into our hearts, in a very powerful way, that we would be controlled by, led by the Holy Spirit to love in radical ways. And not like the world shows us love. They turn it into some distorted, morphed thing. They turn it into a love that's sexualized and a love that doesn't tell the truth, a love that pretends that things that are not true are true. But that ain't the love you show us. We rejoice in the truth. And so, Lord, bless us to live out biblical love every day. Help us to love one another and so prove we are children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.